Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, into your town, into your home, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophony of conversation. Glad to be back with you once again. Crazy week weather-wise here in the desert. Early in the week, we're caught in the same heat wave that's been baking much of the country. We tied a record at 114, though in some neighborhoods, mine included, the mercury got up to about 117. Dry heat my butt. And then the monsoons rolled into town at the end of the week. We've been pummeled with heavy rains, flooding in many areas, flood warnings issued all over the place here today. Extremes are sort of the norm these days for this harsh little corner of the continental neighborhood that I call home. And chances are it's the same where you live. And extremes are on the menu for us tonight on this program. It's almost like the extremists are the only people we hear from these days, the ones who yell the loudest, who insist that they and they alone are right, and everyone who disagrees with them is nuts. It certainly seems to be that way in the political world, and I think the same is true for the scientific realm, especially when science is trying to explain the world of the paranormal or the supernatural. And those two are not necessarily the same, which is something we're going to delve into during this program. As you know, Coast to Coast strives to give voice to issues that are not fairly treated by science or mainstream media. We are, in the view of a lot of people, the lunatic fringe, as far as much of the world is concerned, just because we talk about this kind of stuff, UFOs, ghosts, near-death experiences, remote viewing or psychic abilities, life after death, that kind of stuff. All of the core subjects for this program are deemed by some, maybe a lot of people, as unacceptable for discussion outside of the loony bin, or comic books, or maybe sci-fi movies. In some ways, I think you can make the argument that the journalistic model might be better than the scientific model for pursuing these topics, at least to some degree, at least as a way of narrowing the focus to get down to what's important, to look for general truths, if not always specific and definitive truths. You know, in journalism, we don't have to start with these rigid hypotheses. We can follow the evidence or the facts where they lead. Doesn't mean all journalists are completely honest or objective. That certainly is not the case, and I think that total objectivity probably doesn't exist. But, you know, in the many years that I've been pursuing investigations of the unknown, these weird topics we're talking about, I've found that objectivity is more lacking in mainstream science than it is in journalism, although there's plenty to criticize in journalism, that science today is almost like a religion. And within science is a body of these self-described, self-appointed skeptics who are, in fact, not just skeptics, debunkers. They're not true skeptics anyway. They've kind of hijacked that word, skeptic, and turned it into something else, something that is certainly not scientific. Whenever I hear about a mainstream journalist who has the temerity, the courage to jump into the deep end of this strange pool, I'm always interested in hearing their take on it. And our main guest tonight, Steve Volk, he dove into this pool head first. His book, Fringeology, is a journalistic exploration of how these topics that we've mentioned here have been marginalized by these so-called skeptics. But also, I think to be fair, also they've been damaged by the zealotry of the true believers. He looks at ghosts and UFOs, psychic research, life after death, and a lot more to see if there is still the possibility of middle ground, of honest research minus the emotion and hysteria and character assassination. Steve was on the program a year ago, but he's done so much more since the book came out, and I know a new paperback version is out now, so we're going to be glad to have him back on, and he'll join us in the next hour. Before that, though, making his first appearance on Coast is Puerto Rico's leading ufologist. He's a magazine editor and author, Jorge Martin, who has uncovered one heck of a story. Jorge says he has information about Cuban dictator Fidel Castro and an ongoing interest in ETs and UFOs, and a sensational claim that Castro was shown a crashed saucer and an alien cadaver during one of his visits to Russia. Jorge Martin will join me in just a couple of minutes to tell us about it. In the news today, in the New York Times this afternoon, hard-hitting story about the FDA spying on its own employees. Apparently, the FDA has been watching the computers and phones of several of its scientists working for that government agency to see if any of them were leaking information about tests that FDA had done on the safety of various medical devices. Turns out a handful of FDA scientists were very concerned that tests showing some of these medical devices were dangerous to the public were being buried, the results hidden. So they shared some of this information with Congress, with the Office of the President, with lawyers, with journalists. And the FDA was secretly monitoring their communications. Four of these whistleblowers were fired. They're now in court, as you might imagine, to find out more about this spying program. If you're one of those, like me, concerned about the future of our surveillance society and what governments might do next to whittle down whatever little bit of privacy we have left, here's a story that should disturb you. It's about a new technology that could be in use within 2 years at airports and other places. It can screen your body down to the molecular level from about 50 yards away and know everything about you. What medications you take, how much you take, whether you've smoked pot in the last month or so, whether there's even a molecule of cocaine on the money in your pocket, what you had for breakfast. This molecular screening system could be installed for airport security. And of course, you know, they assure us it's all for our own good, that it's going to protect us from terrorists or whatever, that it's, you know, going to be used to make us all safer, that it would never be misused, of course, never in a million years. But you know what? Who in their right mind believes that? I posted the story on the NAPS news section tonight on the Coast to Coast website, and I think it's disturbing stuff. I think you want to read it. Webmaster Lex and I have some other items of interest for you there. The recent collapse of the power grid in the East and elsewhere should be a warning to all of us about how to prepare for even bigger outages in the future. We got an article there for how you might prepare and what we should learn about these recent outages. Also, a story out of Russia about recent intrusions of American airspace by Russian war maneuvers, Russian warplanes. Certainly was no accident, especially since it happened more than once just off the Pacific coast. This got almost no attention in media here, but sure sounds like something we need to watch, whether we might be returning to sort of a Cold War status with the Russians. Also posted a couple of coast-type items, a blog from our friend Steve Hammonds to sum up recent UFO-related events, including the latest Roswell revelations, and a British article about the most recent release of UFO documents from that country's Ministry of Defense. Turns out Prime Minister Tony Blair wanted and got a UFO briefing because he wanted to get a handle on the situation. Finally, in the NAPS news section, a story that I wrote and which aired here in Las Vegas about the ghosts of Goldfield. I think I mentioned this last time I was here about heading out to the ghost town of Goldfield with some ghost hunters to check out a spooky old schoolhouse. It's a story that definitely plays into the appearance of our main guest tonight, Steve Volk, and his experiences in this same weird arena. And since summer's now here, both in the calendar and in the temperature, we pick summery type songs for tonight's show. Not just songs about summer, but tunes you might listen to out by the pool or under an umbrella on the beach or maybe heading out on a road trip or sipping a piña colada under a palm tree somewhere, whatever you do at summertime. Hope you'll like what's coming. Let's get right to it. Time for our first break. When we return, Jorge Martin and his news about Fidel Castro's ongoing interest in ETs. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jorge Martin has been a journalist for more than 30 years. He specializes in UFO and alien phenomena, writing about those from the vantage point of Puerto Rico and the Caribbean. But he also has covered a heck of a lot about U.S. military activity down in that area, written tons of articles. He's lectured all over the world, has written a number of books. He's the editor of a magazine, and he's joining us now to talk about Fidel Castro's interest in these topics. Jorge, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, George. Glad to be on your show tonight.
I am trying to think how long it is that we've known each other. It's got to be early 90s, 1990, 1991. And
91, I believe, yes.
I have the highest regard for you. You've always been an honest guy in terms of as a journalist, as a reporter, and I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about this. Let's start this way. I know a lot of people don't like Fidel Castro for all kinds of reasons, historical reasons, policy reasons, but regardless of what you think about him as a dictator or leader, mm-hmm. He strikes me as a guy who has a avid interest. He reads a lot. He knows about the world around him. So I'm sort of not surprised that he might have an interest in these kind of topics. Is that what struck you?
Well, the thing is that I have never heard that about Fidel Castro or the Cuban government to talk openly about the UFO matter before. This was something that I knew just by accident, okay? Talking with some people who knew him from Puerto Rico, who were friends of his, who visited Cuba. Lawyer Juan Maribraz, who was a pro-independence political leader here in Puerto Rico, and a friend of his, Mrs. Providencia Trabal. On one occasion, I was back in the year 2002, I was participating in a book fair here in Puerto Rico, and I was introducing the book I published about the incidents in Vieques, you know, this island in the east of Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Where there was this struggle with the U.S. Navy, with the people of Vieques who wanted the Navy to leave the island, etc. The Navy was using the island as a bombing site, an experimentation site, and for military exercises. But we discovered there that, apart from that, the island was being used, okay, secretly by the U.S. Navy in some type of secret alien contact, okay? They were in the area that was used for the bombing practices that was off limits to everyone. We were able to speak with people who were there in security, civilian guards, Puerto Ricans who were there also for the U.S. Navy in security, and many others who worked there. And in many occasions, they saw this huge craft coming down, okay, and landing there. The Puerto Rican personnel was taken out from the area, from the site, as well as the low-land ring officer from the Roosevelt Naval Station and the Navy. And only high-ranking officers remained there. Whatever they were doing there with whoever was in those ships, we don't know. But we also found that there was a very high activity, alien activity, in the area. All the fishermen all around the island, if you go there, George, you can verify this by yourself. All the fishermen there have had experiences of this craft coming out from the water, going into the water all over the island, around the island. They saw these gray-type aliens, humanoids, coming up from the sea and going into the lagoons in the island, coming up from the lagoons, and many other situations. The policemen there, the state policemen, the municipal policemen, the government officers of the municipality of the island, everyone there had seen this, but they were afraid to talk about it before I went there because of the, you know, the struggle they had with the U.S. Navy, and they were afraid that, you know, something could happen. So they preferred not to talk about it. But then they opened up, and all this information came out. I was in this book fair in the year 2002, presenting the book, and while doing that, I met a lawyer, Juan Maribraz, and Mrs. Providencia Trabal. He was also presenting a book he had made on his political ideas about the situation of Puerto Rico, and we began talking about the situation of the UFOs. Mr. Maribraz had to leave for a moment, and I continued talking on with Mrs. Providencia Trabal, who was very interested in the UFO matter because she had had experiences herself, something I didn't know about. And then all of a sudden she said, hey, you know something? Juan Mari is very interested in this matter of the UFOs.
And Juan Mari is who? Who is that?
Juan Mari Braz is the lawyer here in Puerto Rico who was a very prominent political leader advocating for independence for Puerto Rico, and also a socialist leader here in the island. And he was a friend, a personal friend of Fidel Castro. He visited very frequently the island of Cuba, and Mrs. Trabal was a very close person, very close to Mr. Juan Maribraz. And she told me Maribraz was very interested in this matter, and I said, really? And she said, yes, because he on one occasion we began talking, and he just talked about the situation, and he was very interested. And he told us that Fidel Castro had told him something very important. He said, Fidel Castro talked to him about the UFOs and aliens and things like that, and she said, yes. He told us that on one occasion they were talking in Cuba, And Fidel Castro disclosed to him that on one occasion before the fall of the Soviet Union, he had visited Cuba. I believe, George, that it could have been in the 60s, at the beginning of the 60s. And he was taken by the Soviet authorities to this military base, which I believe must be in Astrakhan, in the Chictor area. And he was shown in a special laboratory that they had there in a building, a place there where they had this craft. He was shown a flying saucer-type craft, and allegedly, by what Mario Brack said, the corpse of his pilot, okay? And he told all things to him, too. And I said, wow, I never imagined that something like that. And he said, well, he's very serious about this, and I believe him because he's a very serious person. And I know Mario Brack was a very straightforward person in his ideas. And if he said that, it must have been true. Later on, as he returned, I talked to him, me and my wife, Marlene, and he acknowledged everything. But he wouldn't elaborate more on it because he felt that maybe Castro had told him this in confidence and he shouldn't be talking about this, but he acknowledged that it was true.
And he told you that you had to keep it quiet until some undetermined...
No, the thing is that I had the information for years, as you can see, since year 2002. Prior to that, George, I had some knowledge about Castro's interest in the possibility of intelligent life, alien life in the universe. Because in year 2000, the filmmaker and documentalist from Cuba, Octavio Cortázar, who was very well known, and had been also president of the UNIAC, the National Union of Cuban Writers and Artists. And also he has been professor of the first filming school and television school in Cuba, and also professor in different countries, in Spain and other places too. And he was very known in Cuba, very respected because of this. And he came to Puerto Rico in the year 2000 to participate in a filming festival here at San Juan Cinema Fest, which was celebrated in San Juan, in Puerto Rico. And when he came, he called us to our office, asking to meet with us because he was very fond of the UFO matter. And he had, as a matter of fact, he had produced a documentary about the UFO incidents in Cuba. And he wanted to meet with us to give us a copy of the documentary. We met in his hotel in San Juan, and we talked about the UFO incidents in Puerto Rico and in Cuba, and you know, and the different type of cases that have happened here, and the similarity with many of the cases happening in Cuba, which I knew nothing about at the moment. It was very interesting to hear everything he had to say, and then to see the documentary, because it was a very good one. Even though it was simply done, it was a very good documentary with a lot of very good information. And then he told me, I don't know why, all of a sudden he said, you know something, I can tell you this, Fidel Castro is very interested in this matter and in the possibility of alien life in the universe, intelligent life. And I said, why did you say that? And he said, because when the Pope John Paul II visited Cuba in 1998, he met with his ADs first, and talk with a couple of them, some priests, and talk about the possibility, what they talked about, the possibility of intelligent life out in the universe, apart from Earth. And they expressed to him that they believed that maybe 99% was very probable that there was life outside the Earth, you know, and possibly intelligent life. And then later on, he said, when he met personally Pope John Paul II, and they discussed the matter. And they talked about everything, and they agreed that there was a very high probability that there was intelligent life in the universe. And allegedly, according to what Cortázar told me, apparently they also talked about the UFO matter in that occasion.
So just to make sure I've got this, so in 98, the Pope visits Cuba, and he has a conversation with Fidel Castro in which they discuss not only the possibility of ET life out there, and they conclude that it's real, but the possibility that UFOs represent something alien.
Well, I don't know if really the UFOs. Cortázar told me that apparently they had discussed that.
Hey, Jorge, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. That music is telling us we need to go to break. I'm sorry to have asked you that question when we didn't have enough time, but we'll come back and pick up the conversation discussing Fidel Castro's interest in UFOs and ETs. Stay with us, everyone. Much more of Coast to Coast AM to come. I want to mention something about a friend of the program, Dr. Roger Lear, who's been on many times with George Norrie and probably back with Art Bell as well. Roger's having some real serious medical issues, and a couple of fundraiser benefits have been scheduled for next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, in the L.A. area. L.A. on Saturday, Orange County on Sunday. We're going to put a link up. I think it's already been posted on the Coast website, but trying to raise some money to help with some medical benefits for a friend of the program, Dr. Roger Lear. If you're in Southern California, you're going to be in that area, you might want to check it out. A top-notch group of UFO speakers going to be on hand, and proceeds all going to help Dr. Roger Lear. So we'll put that information up for you if you need more about it. We're talking with a friend of mine for a long time, Jorge Martin, a journalist from Puerto Rico, talking about this astonishing story he's uncovered about Fidel Castro having an interest in UFOs, supposedly being shown a crashed flying saucer. We can pick up that conversation right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Jorge Martin is my guest, talking about Fidel Castro's interest in UFOs and extraterrestrial life. Jorge, back to the discussion about the Pope. So in 1998, the Pope visits Cuba. You know that there were conversations between Castro's people and some of the Vatican people, and then direct conversations of Castro with the Pope. And they expressed the opinion that there is life out there in the universe, but you don't know what was said about UFOs.
Well, according to Mr. Cortázar, they discussed the possibility of alien life, life in the universe, and they agreed on the possibility that it was very high, you know, that it was very possible. And according to Cortázar, too, apparently they discussed the alien matter and the UFO matter.
It makes you wonder if Castro would have confided to the Pope what he had seen in the late 60s, what you were just telling us about.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question.
You don't know the answer, though?
I don't know the answer, no.
Back to this thing about Castro being shown this, where did you say this base was?
Well, apparently, that's...
You don't know for sure.
That's a hypothesis of mine.
Okay.
I believe it must have been, you know, there are two places in Russia where there have been a very high activity, alien activity, and where it has been said that the Russian government and the ex-Soviet Union have some sort of Area 51 type facility, you know, where
right.
they have these crafts and they are doing reverse engineering on them, and they have corpses of alien.
Is a Kapustin Yar? Is that one of them? Kapustin Yar, I think it's.
I believe that it must be Kapustin Yar in Shikhtar area, in Astrakhan.
So Fidel Castro would have been shown this. Is any indication that the Russians said, look, we'll show it to you, but you have to keep your mouth shut?
I didn't know that. Okay.
Why I'm asking
believe,
is...
I believe that they must have said that to him, and also that for some reason he decided to keep this confidential. But according to what Mrs. Trabal said and Mayuras, he was shown the craft, a flying saucer type craft, and the corpse of an alien that looked very human, but very tall in size.
Very tall?
Very tall in size, yes.
You indicated that you also had kept this quiet. You've known about it since 2002, but you had to wait until the conditions were right. Can you tell me what the conditions were? What's changed?
The thing is that when Cortázar told me this about the knowledge he had about the discussion of Castro with the Pope John Paul II, he told me that he preferred for it to be Castro himself who eventually disclosed everything and talked about it, okay? And I respected that. I gave him my word that I would do that, you know, at that moment. Then afterwards, when I came to the knowledge of the information that was given to me by Mrs. Trabal and Marie Russ, thinking about what my promise to Mr. Cortázar, I prefer to keep it quiet until now, because Fidel Castro published recently one of his so-called reflections, you know, in which he writes about different items, geopolitical situation, ecology, et cetera, et cetera. As you said, he's very keen, you know, he's very involved with many type of activities.
Yeah, he has wide interests, right.
That's what you said at the beginning of the show. And he's very like that, for all I know. And he published this reflection in which he was talking about the possibility of a war that could happen at any moment, you know, the danger we were involved with at this moment, and also talk about ecological matters. And then he veered into the area of possible life in the universe, you know. And he talked about his meeting with the ADs of the Pope back in 1998 and the discussion he had with the Pope himself.
Okay, so he said all this, admitted it.
He opened the door, and I felt that the promise I had given to Mr. Cortázar was well kept, but as Mr. Castro opened the door himself, I felt I could publish all the information I had.
I've always thought, Jorge, Cuba as a place that could blow the lid off the UFO mystery, because, you know, they must see all kinds of what we would call UFOs, but by that I mean American spy planes and drones and satellites flying over it to keep an eye on to see if any missiles are going in or whatever they're up to. They must see all kinds of things in the sky and have great capabilities for detecting things that intrude their airspace. I would think that Cuba must be sitting on a treasure trove of UFO type information, and that if they wanted to, they can embarrass the U.S. by putting out what they know.
Well, I know as a fact that for many years they have been involved with the UFO situation, even though they don't talk about it officially. The Cuban Academy of Sciences seldomly say anything about the UFO matter. Okay, most of the investigation and research is made by civilians. But we know as a fact that since the 60s, there have been many, many important UFO incidents that have occurred there in the island, in which military personnel from the Cuban government were involved with, you know, and also that, especially in the 60s, when the Russians were there, and they had this scientific personnel in their bases, etc., in many of these occasions were in which important incidents occurred, the Cuban military forces asked for the help of the Russians, and many investigations were done together, you know, and this got the officers of the Cuban government more involved with the situation. They became more aware of the reality of all of this, and there have been many incidents. You may remember the incident that happened back in the 70s, in which a Cuban MiG jet fighter was destroyed by a huge spherical shaped craft when the pilot announced that they would, you know, fire a missile to this object, and all of a sudden the plane broke apart and exploded in the air silently, and the other jet aircraft that was accompanying it reported everything. This was reported in the United States because they heard the communications.
A Cuban MiG was shot down.
In Florida that could hear everything that was happening. And there were many other incidents like those. So they're very aware of the situation.
So a Cuban MiG was shot down by a UFO.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have sources in the Cuban military or within Cuban civilian sources that know about the military, about what else they might have?
Well, I have been contacting people who know about the situation in Cuba, including Cuban UFO researchers. There are many things that have come out from the United States themselves, you know, people in the military who were who knew about these incidents that were happening. And there have been books and also the documentary coming out from Cuba now with many reports of incidents that have been happening there. And that's the way I've been getting all this knowledge about the situation there.
You've followed this field for so long. Give me your thoughts about the Vatican. Now, this conversation that you say took place between the Pope and Castro in the late 90s, You know, in the years since then, the Vatican has radically changed its position on UFOs and ET life. I mean, they've come way, way out on this topic, saying that it's real, that there's nothing fundamentally at odds with what the church believes. And it's almost as if they're preparing us. I wonder if the information Castro gave them affected the church's position on this stuff.
Not only that, George, as we know, the Vatican is a power. Okay, it's another power in our planet, a political power, and they have knowledge. They have their own intelligence division. They have all knowledge about what's going on all over the world, and they know about this matter too, about the UFO.
Help me. Let's broaden the topic a little bit beyond Fidel Castro. I one more question about him. I wonder if there are any plans for after he's gone. To make any kind of revelation. I would think that if he dies, that the American government extends a hand and we become friends again, that we'll never see whatever's in those files.
Well, I hope that before he dies, he will, you know, say something about this. Because bereft, what you may think about say, his ideology, etc., if he does this and talks about what he knows, it would help a lot, you know, to get this out to the public and help make some changes in our world that were badly needed, you know.
Could just be that the Russians still don't want him to talk about it.
Well, I don't know. As you know, at this moment, Fidel Castro was visiting Russia in a surprise visit, in the tour he was doing in Asia, and who knows if they were talking about this too.
Broaden the topic a little bit.
They must be aware that this has come out.
Yeah, they monitor this stuff pretty closely. On another subject from down in your part of the world, Chupacabra. I have never given much credence to this. I don't know, I haven't studied it in depth, but I know that that's where the whole story originated. What do you make of that, and what's the Chupacabra situation, if there is one, now?
Well, right now there's nothing. Nothing is going on, but I can tell you that there was something to it, okay? I checked the situation for many years. Most of the research on the matter was done by myself, and there was something. Something was really going on, you know. There were thousands of livestock that were killing many in very strange ways, you know. And everything implied that what was going on was real, you know.
So what's your theory on what happened to whatever was doing that? So, say it's a creature of some sort, whether it was some kind of weird psychological experiment or disinformation effort. Where did it go? Why did it go away?
Well, I can tell you this, okay, as a summary. It was real. There was a very strange creature involved with the killings, you know, and not only one, apparently several of them. But there was also some type of manipulation, because in some cases, even though flying saucer type craft were seen in the same places at the same time where these attacks were occurring and the sightings of this creature were being made by the witnesses, in some cases, George, some of the crafts were being escorted by an apparent secret military personnel dressed in black in 4x4 vehicles, you know, and when they were discovered, also always told the witnesses to leave the area because they were doing something with this craft and they didn't want to be bothered with when they were doing whatever they were doing. So there seemed to be some type of manipulation of the whole situation.
Well, that isn't the first time that's happened there or anywhere else, that's for sure. Same kind of stuff reported all over the world. Talk to me about the UFO picture on your home, Puerto Rico. The activity you were describing on that island where the Navy has done all that bombing. Do you see the same kind of stuff flying in and out of the water these days as you saw for years?
It continues to happen, okay? And maybe you recall that back in 1996, the NASA shuttle, okay, in mission STS-80, I believe it was, filmed several incidents up in space, okay, in which they recorded these UFOs all over the Earth, you know, in orbit. And there's one film made by the astronauts in which you see something coming up from the Earth, okay, out to space. At first, they said that it was in the area of Sao Paulo, Brazil. But then it was corrected. The information was corrected, and it was identified exactly as the island of Vieques in Puerto Rico. At the center of the island, this object came out from the sea, flying up to the sky at 500 miles per second. When it got close to the space shuttle, it veered to the left and disappeared in deep space very fast. Okay? You can see that in the recordings that have been made, you know, the STS-80 mission, and that was in Vieques. Last year, I was checking with Google Earth that area, checking if I could find something that would let me see that there was something down there, and I went to the area where you can see undersea, okay? And I made some enlargements of the image in Google Earth of that area of Vieques on the southwest of Puerto Rico. When you enlarge the image, you can see that there's something there south of the southwestern tip of Puerto Rico, southeastern tip of Puerto Rico, right between the city of Ponce and the town of Patillas. And there's something very weird down there, very big, with a very geometric shape, okay, that doesn't seem natural. It seems some type of huge artificial structure. And beneath that, a little farther away, there are four apparent structures in rectangular shape that form themselves a quadrangle, okay? That is not, no way that is natural, okay? It seems to be some type of a structure artificially made by someone, by some intelligence. And also, a little farther to the north, you can see in the seafloor, okay, you can see something like a tunnel or a road that goes from that place up to the continental shelf of the south part of the island and connects to the area of the town of Ponce. But the thing is, George, that area depicted where these things are is almost a third part of the island of Puerto Rico. It's something very huge. And I don't think that this was made maybe by the U.S. Navy or something like that.
Well, what about that possibility? You've read a lot of the stuff about a secret space program, the speculation by a lot of American UFO researchers that we've got our own flying saucers, that we've got things that can go into space, that maybe we have a secret space program based somewhere. Could that be it?
Well, I believe also that the U.S. has some type of technology that allows it to do this type of craft. They have maybe some type of a secret fleet. But there's also the real ones, I would say, the real alien type craft. And, for example, if you go to the rainforest here in Puerto Rico, the El Yunque rainforest in the east of the island, there have been for many decades, a very high activity there of UFOs and aliens. Many people have seen them. Forestry service personnel who work there, policemen, tourists, visitors in the area, people who live nearby, all surrounding all the area. There are mountains that open there, and UFOs come out from these places, flying saucer type crafts. There's even a phenomenon that I know will be of interest to you, George, because of the job that you did with the incidents occurring in Utah. The Gorman Ranch.
Yeah, the Skinwalker Ranch, right.
Skinwalker Ranch, that's correct. There's an area there between the mountains of El Yunque and El Toro in the rainforest that many people have seen that opens. The matter, the surface disappears. A strange haze, a glow, a reddish-orange glow appears. Everything in that area, in that perimeter, disappears, and you can see a very, very big hole in the earth, okay? And down there, it has been described by policemen, by people from the forestry service personnel. They see very far down, deep underground, like a city, very illuminated, very bright. Okay.
Hey, Jorge Martin, we're out of time. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing us this information with us. We've put a link on the Coast to Coast site, a link to your blog spot, if people want to read more about this, both in English and Spanish, the Castro story, and a lot more. Jorge, I hope you'll keep us posted on whatever you're working on and come back and see us. All right. Stay with us, everyone. Much more to come. Steve Volk and Fringeology right after this on Coast to Coast.